2A. Dua was aware of the left-right agitation concerning her in a dim and faraway manner, and her rebelliousness grew. If one or the other, or both, came to get her, it would end in a melting, and she raged against the thought. It was all trick new, except for the children, all trick wanted, except for the third and last child, and it was all involved with the children and the still-missing child. And when Trick wanted the melting, he got it. Trick dominated the triad when he grew stubborn. He would hold on to some simple idea and never let go, and in the end, Odin and Dua would have to give in. Yet now she wouldn't give in. She wouldn't. She didn't feel disloyal at the thought, either. She never expected to feel for either Odin or Trick the sheer intensity of longing they felt for each other. She could melt alone. They could melt only through her mediation. So why didn't that make her the more regarded? She felt intense pleasure at the three-way melting. Of course she did. It would be stupid to deny it. But it was a pleasure akin to that which she felt when she passed through a rock wall, as she sometimes secretly did. To Trit and Odin, the pleasure was like nothing else they had ever experienced or could ever experience. No, wait. Odin had the pleasure of learning, of what he called intellectual development. Dua felt some of that at times, enough to know what it might mean. And though it was different from melting, it might serve as a substitute, at least to the point where Odin could do without melting sometimes. But not so Trit. For him, there was only melting and the children. Only. And when his small mind bent entirely upon that, Odin would give in, and then Dua would have to. Once she had rebelled. But what happens when we melt? It's hours, days sometimes, before we come out of it. What happens all that time? Trit had looked outraged at that. It's always that way. It's got to be. I don't like anything that's got to be. I want to know why. Odin had looked embarrassed. He spent half his life being embarrassed. He said, "Now, Dua, it does have to be, on account of children." He seemed to pulse as he said the word. "Well, don't pulse," said Dua sharply. "We're grown now, and we've melted I don't know how many times, and we all know it's so we can have children. You might as well say so. Why does it take so long, that's all?" "Because it's a complicated process," said Odin, still pulsing. "Because it takes energy, Dua. It takes a long time to get a child started, and even when we take a long time, it doesn't always get started. And it's getting worse. Not just with us," he added hastily. "Worse?" said Trit anxiously, but Odin would say no more. They had a child, eventually, a baby rational, a leftlet, that flitted and thinned so that all three were in raptures, and even Odin would hold it and let it change shape in his hands for as long as Trit would allow him to. For it was Trit, of course, who had actually incubated it through the long pre-forming, Trit, who had separated from it when it assumed independent existence, and Trit, who cared for it at all times. After that, Trit was often not with them, and Dua was oddly pleased. Trit's obsession annoyed her, but Odin's, oddly, pleased her. She became increasingly aware of his importance. There was something to being a rational that made it possible to answer questions, and somehow Dua had questions for him constantly. He was readier to answer when Trit was not present. "Why does it take so long, Odin? I don't like to melt and then not know what's happening for days at a time." "We're perfectly safe, Dua," said Odin earnestly. "Come, nothing has ever happened to us, has it? You've never heard of anything ever happening to any other triad, have you? Besides, you shouldn't ask questions." "Because I'm an emotional? Because other emotionals don't ask questions? I can't stand other emotionals, if you want to know, and I do want to ask questions." She was perfectly aware that Odin was looking at her as though he had never seen anyone as attractive, and that if Trit had been present, melting would have taken place at once. She even let herself thin out, not much, but perceptibly, in deliberate coquettishness. Odin said, "But you might not understand the implications, Dua. It takes a great deal of energy to initiate a new spark of life.
You've often mentioned energy. What is it, exactly?
Why, what we eat.
Well then, why don't you say food?
Because food and energy aren't quite the same thing. Our food comes from the sun, and that's a kind of energy. But there are other kinds of energy that are not food. When we eat, we've got to spread out and absorb the light. It's hardest for emotionals because they're much more transparent. That is, the light tends to pass through instead of being absorbed. It was wonderful to have it explained, Gila thought. What she was told, she really knew. But she didn't know the proper words, the long science words that Odin knew. And it made sharper and more meaningful everything that happened. Occasionally now, in adult life, when she no longer feared that childish teasing, when she shared in the prestige of being part of the Odin triad, she tried to swarm with other emotionals and to withstand the chatter and the crowding. After all, she did occasionally feel like a more substantial meal than she usually got, and it did make for better melting. There was a joy. Sometimes she almost caught the pleasure the others got out of it, in slithering and maneuvering for exposure to sunlight, in the luxurious contraction and condensation to absorb the warmth through greater thickness with greater efficiency. Yet for Dua, a little of that went quite away, and the others never seemed to have enough. There was a kind of gluttonous wiggle about them that Dua could not duplicate, and that, at length, she could not endure. That was why rationals and parentals were so rarely on the surface. Their thickness made it possible for them to eat quickly and leave. Emotionals writhed in the sun for hours, for though they ate more slowly, they actually needed more energy than the others, at least for melting. The emotional supplied the energy, Odin had explained, pulsing so that his signals were barely understood, and the rational the seed, the parental the incubator. Once Dua understood that, a certain amusement began to blend with her disapproval when she watched the other emotionals virtually slurp up the ruddy sunlight. Since they never asked questions, she was sure they didn't know why they did it, and couldn't understand that there was an obscene side to their quivering condensations, or to the way in which they went tittering down below eventually, on their way to a good melt, of course, with lots of energy to spare. She could also stand Trick's annoyance when she would come down without that swirling opacity that meant a good gorging. Yet why should they complain? The thinness she retained meant a defter melting, not as sloppy and glutinous as the other triads managed, perhaps, but it was the ethereality that counted, she felt sure. And the little left and little right came eventually, didn't they? Of course, it was the baby emotional, the little mid, that was the crux. That took more energy than the other two, and Dua never had enough. Even Odin was beginning to mention it. "You're not getting enough sunlight, Dua."
"Yes, I am," said Dua hastily.
"Genius Triad," said Odin, "has just initiated an emotional." Dua didn't like Genia. She never had. She was empty-headed even by emotional standards. Dua said loftily, "I suppose she's boasting about it. She has no delicacy. I suppose she's saying, 'I shouldn't mention it, my dear, but you'll never guess what my leftling and rightling have gone and went and done.'" She imitated Genia's tremulous signaling with deadly accuracy, and Odin was amused. But then he said, "Genia may be a dunder, but she has initiated an emotional, and Trit is upset about it. We've been at it for much longer than they have." Dua turned away. "I get all the sun I can stand. I do it till I'm too full to move. I don't know what you want of me." Odin said, "Don't be angry. I promised Trit I would talk to you. He thinks you listen to me." "Oh, Trit just thinks it's odd that you explain science to me. He doesn't understand. Do you want a middling like the others?"
"No," said Odin seriously. "You're not like the others, and I'm glad of it. And if you're interested in rational talk, then let me explain something. The sun doesn't supply the food it used to in ancient times. The light energy is less, and it takes longer exposures. The birth rate has been dropping for ages, and the world's population is only a fraction of what it once was.
I can't help it, said Dua rebelliously.
The hard ones may be able to. Their numbers have been decreasing, too.
Do they pass on?
Dua was suddenly interested. She always thought they were immortal somehow, that they weren't born, that they didn't die. Who had ever seen a baby hard one, for instance? They didn't have babies. They didn't melt. They didn't eat.
Odin said thoughtfully, I imagine they pass on. They never talk about themselves to me. I'm not even sure how they eat, but of course they must, and be born. There's a new one, for instance. I haven't seen him yet. But never mind that. The point is that they've been developing an artificial food.
I know, said Dua. I've tasted it.
You have? I didn't know that.
A bunch of the emotionals talked about it. They said a hard one was asking for volunteers to taste it, and the sillies were all afraid. They said it would probably turn them permanently hard, and they would never be able to melt again.
That's foolish, said Odin vehemently.
I know, so I volunteered. That shut them up. They are so hard to endure, Odin.
How was it?
Horrible, said Jua vehemently. Harsh and bitter. Of course, I didn't tell the other emotionals that.
Odin said, I tasted it. It wasn't that bad.
Rationals and parentals don't care what food tastes like.
But Odin said, it's still only experimental. They're working hard on improvements, the hard ones are. Especially Estwald. That's the one I mentioned before, the new one I haven't seen. He's working on it.
Boston speaks of him now and then as though he's something special. A very great scientist.
How is it you've never seen him?
I'm just a soft one. You don't suppose they show me and tell me everything, do you?
Someday I'll see him, I suppose. He's developed a new energy source which may save us all yet.
I don't want artificial food, said Dua, and she had left Odin abruptly.
That had been not so long ago, and Odin had not mentioned this Estwald again. But she knew he would, and she brooded about it up here in the sunset.
She had seen that artificial food that once, a glowing sphere of light like a tiny sun in a special cavern set up by the hard ones. She could taste its bitterness yet.
Would they improve it? Would they make it taste better, even delicious?
And would she have to eat it then and fill herself with it till the full sensation gave her an almost uncontrollable desire to melt?
She feared that self-generating desire. It was different when the desire came through the hectic combined stimulation of leftling and rightling.
It was the self-generation that meant she would be ripe to bring about the initiation of a little mid.
And she didn't want to. It was a long time before she would admit the truth to herself. She didn't want to initiate an emotional. It was after the three children were all born that the time would inevitably come to pass on. And she didn't want to. She remembered the day her parental had left her forever, and it was never going to be like that for her. Of that she was fiercely determined. The other emotionals didn't care, because they were too empty to think about it. But she was different. She was Queer Dua, the left M. That was what they had called her, and she would be different. As long as she didn't have that third child, she would not pass on. She would continue to live. So she wasn't going to have that third child. Never. Never. But how was she going to stave it off? And how would she keep Odin from finding out? What if Odin found out?